1 Corinthians chapter 11. Women must have a covering over their heads. Here blameth the abuses if their love feast and upon that occasion treats of the blessed sacrament. 11:1. Be ye followers of me, as I also am of Christ. 11:2. Now I praise you, brethren, that in all things you are mindful of me and keep my ordinances as I have delivered them to you. 11:3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. 11:4. Every man praying or prophesying with his head covered disgraceth his head. 11:5. But every woman praying or prophesying with her head not covered disgraceth her head. For it is all one as if she were shaven. 11:6. For if a woman be not covered, let her be shorn. But if it be a shame to a woman to be shorn or made bald, let her cover her head. 11:7. The man indeed ought not to cover his head, because he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. 11:8. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. 11:9. For the man was not created for the woman, but the woman for the man. 11:10. Therefore ought the woman to have a power over her head, because of the angels. That power, that is, a veil or covering, as a sign that she is under the power of her husband. And this, the apostle adds, because of the angels, who are present in the assemblies of the faithful. 11:11. But yet neither is the man without the woman, nor the woman without the man, in the Lord. 11:12. For if the woman is of the man, so also is the man by the woman. But all things of God. 11:13. You yourselves judge. Doth it become a woman to pray unto God uncovered? 11:14. Doth not even nature itself teach you that a man indeed, if he nourish his hair, it is a shame unto him? 11:15. But if the woman nourish her hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. 11:16. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, nor the church of God. 11:17. Now this I ordain, not praising you, that you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. 11:18. For first of all I hear that when you come together in the church, there are schisms among you, and in part one believe it. 11:19. For there must be also heresies, that they also, who are approved, may be made manifest among you. There must be also heresies, by reason of the pride and perversity of man's heart, not by God's will or appointment, who nevertheless draws good out of this evil, manifesting, by that occasion, who are the good and firm Christians, and making their faith more remarkable. 11:20. When you come therefore together into one place, it is not now to eat the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper. So the apostle here calls the charity feasts observed by the primitive Christians, and reprehends the abuses of the Corinthians, on these occasions, which were the more criminal, because these feasts were accompanied with the celebrating of the Eucharistic sacrifice and sacrament. 11:21. For everyone taketh before his own supper to eat, and one indeed is hungry and another is drunk. 11:22. What, have you no houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and put them to shame that have not? What shall I say to you? Do I praise you? In this I praise you not. 11:23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. 11:24. And giving thanks, broke and said, Take ye and eat. This is my body, which shall be delivered for you. This do for the commemoration of me. 11:25. In like manner also the chalice, after he had supped, saying, This chalice is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as you shall drink, for the commemoration of me. 11:26. For as often as you shall eat this bread and drink the chalice, you shall shew the death of the Lord, until he come. 11:27. Therefore, whosoever shall eat this bread, or drink the chalice of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord. Or drink. Here erroneous translators corrupted the text, by putting in drink, contrary to the original, instead of or drink. Guilty of the body, etc., not discerning the body, etc. This demonstrates the real presence of the body and blood of Christ, even to the unworthy communicant, who otherwise could not be guilty of the body and blood of Christ, or justly condemned for not discerning the Lord's body. 11:28. But let a man prove himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of the chalice. Drink of the chalice. This is not said by way of command, but by way of allowance, viz., where and when it is agreeable to the practice and discipline of the church. 11:29. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh judgment to himself, not discerning the body of the Lord. 11:30. Therefore are there many infirm and weak among you, and many sleep. 11:31. But if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. 11:32. But whilst we are judged, we are chastised by the Lord, that we be not condemned with this world. 11:33. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. 11:34. If any man be hungry, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto judgment. And the rest I will set in order, when I come. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Of the diversity of spiritual gifts, the members of the mystical body, like those of the natural body, must mutually cherish one another. 12:1. Now concerning spiritual things, my brethren, I would not have you ignorant. 12:2. You know that when you were heathens, you went to dumb idols, according as you were led. 12:3. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man, speaking by the Spirit of God, saith anathema to Jesus. And no man can say the Lord Jesus, but by the Holy Ghost. 12:4. Now there are diversities of graces, but the same Spirit. 12:5. And there are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. 12:6. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God, who worketh all in all. 12:7. And the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man unto profit. 12:8. 2:1 indeed, by the Spirit, is given the word of wisdom, and to another, the word of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. 12:9. To another, faith in the same Spirit. To another, the grace of healing in one Spirit. 12:10. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of speeches. 12:11. But all these things, one and the same Spirit worketh, dividing to every one according as he will. 12:12. For if the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of the body, whereas they are many, yet are one body, so also is Christ. 12:13. For in one Spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, whether bond or free, and in one Spirit we have all been made to drink. 12:14. For the body also is not one member, but many. 12:15. If the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? 12:16. And if the ear should say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? 12:17. If the whole body were the eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? 12:18. But now God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. 12:19. And if they all were one member, where would be the body? 12:20. But now there are many members indeed, yet one body. 12:21. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I need not thy help. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. 12:22. Yea, much more those that seem to be the more feeble members of the body are more necessary. 12:23. And such as we think to be the less honorable members of the body, about these we put more abundant honor, and those that are our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. 12:24. But our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, giving to that which wanted the more abundant honor. 12:25. That there might be no schism in the body, but the members might be mutually careful one for another. 12:26. And if one member suffer anything, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member glory, all the members rejoice with it. 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ and members of member. 12:28. And God indeed hath set some in the church. First apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly doctors, after that miracles, then the graces of healings, helps, governments, kinds of tongues, interpretations of speeches. 12:29. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all doctors? 12:30. Are all workers of miracles? Have all the grace of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? 12:31. But be zealous for the better gifts, and I shew unto you yet a more excellent way. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Charity is to be preferred before all gifts. 13:1. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass, or a tinkling cymbal. 13:2. And if I should have prophecy and should know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I should have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. 13:3. And if I should distribute all my goods to feed the poor, and if I should deliver my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. 13:4. Charity is patient, is kind. Charity envieth not, dealeth not perversely, is not puffed up. 13:5. Is not ambitious, seeketh not her own, is not provoked to anger, thinketh no evil. 13:6. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth with the truth. 13:7. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. 13:8. Charity never falleth away. Whether prophecies shall be made void or tongues shall cease or knowledge shall be destroyed. 13:9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. 13:10. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. 13:11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away the things of a child. 13:12. We see now through a glass in a dark manner, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. 13:13. And now there remain faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. 1 Corinthians 14. The gift of prophesying is to be preferred before that of speaking strange tongues. 14:1. Follow after charity, be zealous for spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy, that is, declare or expound the mysteries of faith. 14:2. For he that speaketh in a tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man heareth, yet by the Spirit he speaketh mysteries, not unto men, viz., so as to be heard, that is, so as to be understood by them. 14:3. But he that prophesieth speaketh to men unto edification and exhortation and comfort. 14:4. He that speaketh in a tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth, edifieth the church. 14:5. And I would have you all to speak with tongues, but rather to prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, unless perhaps he interpret, that the church may receive edification. 14:6. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, unless I speak to you either in revelation or in knowledge or in prophecy or in doctrine? 14:7. Even things without life that give sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction of sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? 14:8. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? 14:9. So likewise you, except you utter by the tongue plain speech, how shall it be known what is said? For you shall be speaking into the air. 14:10. There are, for example, so many kinds of tongues in this world, and none is without voice. 14:11. If then I know not the power of the voice, I shall be to him to whom I speak a barbarian, and he that speaketh a barbarian to me. 14:12. So you also, forasmuch as you are zealous of spirits, seek to abound unto the edifying of the church, of spirits, of spiritual gifts. 14:13. And therefore he that speaketh by a tongue, let him pray that he may interpret. 14:14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is without fruit. 14:15. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, I will pray also with the understanding, I will sing with the spirit, I will sing also with the understanding. 14:16. Else, if thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that holdeth the place of thee and learn say, Amen, to thy blessing? Because he knoweth not what thou sayest. Amen. The unlearned, not knowing that you are then blessing, will not be qualified to join with you by saying Amen to your blessing. The use or abuse of strange tongues, of which the apostle here speaks, does not regard the public liturgy of the church, in which strange tongues were never used, but certain conferences of the faithful, verse 26, etc., in which, meeting together, they discovered to one another their various miraculous gifts of the Spirit, common in those primitive times. amongst which the apostle prefers that of prophesying before that of speaking strange tongues, because it was more to the public edification. Where also not, that the Latin, used in our liturgy, is so far from being a strange or unknown tongue, that it is perhaps the best known tongue in the world. 14:17. For thou indeed givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. 14:18. I thank my God I speak with all your tongues. 14:19. But in the church I had rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that I may instruct others also, than 10,000 words in a tongue. 14:20. Brethren, do not become children in sins, but in malice be children, and in sense be perfect. 14:21. In the law it is written, in other tongues and other lips I will speak to this people, and neither so will they hear me, saith the Lord. 14:22. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to believers but to unbelievers, but prophecies, not to unbelievers but to believers. 14:23. If therefore the whole church come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come any learned persons or infidels, will they not say that you are mad? 14:24. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not or an unlearned person, he is convinced of all. He is judged of all. 14:25. The secrets of his heart are made manifest. And so, falling down on his face, he will adore God, affirming that God is among you indeed. 14:26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a revelation, hath a tongue, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done to edification. 14:27. If any speak with a tongue, let it be by 2, or at the most by 3, and in course, and let one interpret. 14:28. But if there be no interpreter, let him hold his peace in the church and speak to himself and to God. 14:29. And let the prophets speak, 2 or 3, and let the rest judge. 14:30. But if anything be revealed to another sitting, let the first hold his peace. 14:31. For you may all prophesy, one by one, that all may learn and all may be exhorted. 14:32. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. 14:33. For God is not the God of dissension, but of peace, as also I teach in all the churches of the saints. 14:34. Let women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted them to speak but to be subject, as also the law saith. 14:35. But if they would learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. 14:36. Or did the word of God come out from you, or came it only unto you? 14:37. If any seem to be a prophet or spiritual, let him know the things that I write to you, that they are the commandments of the Lord. 14:38. But if any man know not, he shall not be known. 14:39. Wherefore, brethren, be zealous to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. 14:40. But let all things be done decently and according to order. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Christ's resurrection and ours. The manner of our resurrection. 15:1. Now I make known unto you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you have received and wherein you stand. 15:2. By which also you are saved, if you hold fast after what manner I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. 15:3. For I delivered unto you first of all, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. 15:4. And that he was buried, and that he rose again according to the Scriptures. 15:5. And that he was seen by Cephas, and after that by the 11. 15:6. Then was he seen by more than 500 brethren at once, of whom many remain until this present, and some are fallen asleep. 15:7. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. 15:8. And last of all, he was seen also by me, as by one born out of due time. 15:9. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace in me hath not been void, but I have labored more abundantly than all they. Yet not I, but the grace of God with me. 15:11. For whether I or they, so we preach, and so you have believed. 15:12. Now if Christ be preached, that he arose again from the dead, How do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? 15:13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen again. 15:14. And if Christ be not risen again, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. 15:15. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have given testimony against God, that he hath raised up Christ, whom he hath not raised up, if the dead rise not again. 15:16. For if the dead rise not again, neither is Christ risen again. 15:17. And if Christ be not risen again, your faith is vain, for you are yet in your sins. 15:18. Then they also that are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. 15:19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. 15:20. But now Christ is risen from the dead, the first fruits of them that sleep. 15:21. For by a man came death, and by a man the resurrection of the dead. 15:22. And as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. 15:23. But every one in his own order. The first fruits, Christ. Then they that are of Christ, who have believed in his coming. 15:24. Afterwards the end. When he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God and the Father. When he shall have brought to naught all principality and power and virtue. 15:25. For he must reign, until he hath put all his enemies under his feet. 15:26. And the enemy, death, shall be destroyed last. For he hath put all things under his feet. And whereas he saith, 15:27, all things are put under him. Undoubtedly, he is accepted, who put all things under him. 15:28. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then the Son also himself shall be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. The Son also himself shall be subject unto him. That is, the Son will be subject to the Father, according to his human nature, even after the general resurrection. And also the whole mystical body of Christ will be entirely subject to God, obeying him in everything. 15:29. Otherwise, what shall they do that are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not again at all? Why are they then baptized for them, that are baptized for the dead? Some think the apostle here alludes to a ceremony then in use, but others, more probably, to the prayers and penitential labors, performed by the primitive Christians for the souls of the faithful departed, or to the baptism of afflictions and sufferings undergone for sinners spiritually dead. 15:30. Why also are we in danger every hour? 15:31. I die daily, I protest by your glory, brethren, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. 15:32. If, according to man, I fought with beasts at Ephesus, what doth it profit me, if the dead rise not again? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we shall die. Let us eat and drink, etc. That is, if we did not believe that we were to rise again from the dead, we might live like the impious and wicked, who have no belief in the resurrection. 15:33. Be not seduced. Evil communications corrupt good manners. 15:34. Awake, ye just, and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak it to your shame. 15:35. But some men will say, how do the dead rise again? Or with what manner of body shall they come? 15:36. Senseless man, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die first. 15:37. And that which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain, as of wheat, or of some of the rest. 15:38. But God giveth it a body as he will, and to every seed its proper body. 15:39. All flesh is not the same flesh. But one is the flesh of men, another of beasts, other of birds, another of fishes. 15:40. And there are bodies celestial and bodies terrestrial. But one is the glory of the celestial, and another of the terrestrial. 15:41. One is the glory of the sun, another the glory of the moon, and another the glory of the stars. For star differeth from star in glory. 15:42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It shall rise in incorruption. 15:43. It is sown in dishonor. It shall rise in glory. It is sown in weakness. It shall rise in power. 15:44. It is sown a natural body. It shall rise a spiritual body. If there be a natural body, there is also a spiritual body, as it is written. 15:45. The first man Adam was made into a living soul. the last Adam into a quickening spirit. 1546. Yet that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. Afterwards that which is spiritual. 1547. The first man was of the earth, earthly. The second man, from heaven, heavenly. 1548. Such as is the earthly, such also are the earthly. And such as is the heavenly, such also are they that are heavenly. 1549. Therefore, as we have borne the image of the earthly, let us bear also the image of the heavenly. 1550. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot possess the kingdom of God, neither shall corruption possess incorruption. 1551. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall all indeed rise again, but we shall not all be changed. 1552. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall rise again incorruptible, and we shall be changed. 1553. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. 1554. And when this mortal hath put on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. 1555. O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? 1556. Now the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. 1557. But thanks be to God, who hath given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1558. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Of collection of alms, admonitions and salutations. 16:1. Now concerning the collections that are made for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, so do ye also. 16:2. On the first day of the week, let every one of you put apart with himself, laying up what it shall well please him, that when I come, the collections be not then to be made. 16:3. And when I shall be with you, howsoever you shall approve by letters, them will I send to carry your grace to Jerusalem. 16:4. And if it be meet that I also go, they shall go with me. 16:5. Now I will come to you, when I shall have passed through Macedonia. For I shall pass through Macedonia. 16:6. And with you perhaps I shall abide, or even spend the winter, that you may bring me on my way whithersoever I shall go. 16:7. For I will not see you now by the way, for I trust that I shall abide with you some time, if the Lord permit. 16:8. But I will tarry at Ephesus, until Pentecost. 16:9. For a great war in evident is opened unto me, and many adversaries. 16:10. Now if Timothy come, see that he be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. 16:11. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct you him on his way in peace, that he may come to me, for I look for him with the brethren. 16:12. And touching our brother Apollo, I give you to understand that I much entreated him to come unto you with the brethren. And indeed it was not his will at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have leisure. 16:13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, do manfully and be strengthened. 16:14. Let all your things be done in charity. 16:15. And I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanus, and of Fortunatus, and of Achaicus, that they are the first fruits of Achaia, and have dedicated themselves to the ministry of the saints. 16:16. That you also be subject to such and to everyone that worketh with us and laboreth. 16:17. And I rejoice in the presence of Stephanus and Fortunatus and Achaicus, because that which was wanting on your part, they have supplied. 16:18. For they have refreshed both my spirit and yours. Know them, therefore, that are such. 16:19. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord, with the church that is in their house, with whom I also lodge. 16:20. All the brethren salute you. Salute one another with a holy kiss. 16:21. The salutation of me Paul, with my own hand. 16:22. If any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. Let him be anathema, maranatha. Anathema signifies here a thing accursed. Maranatha, which, according to St. Jerome and St. Chrysostom, signified, the Lord is come, already, and therefore is to be taken as an admonition to those who doubted of the resurrection, and to put them in mind that Christ, the judge of the living and the dead, is come already. Others exclaim, Maranatha! May our Lord come, that is, to judge and punish those with exemplary judgments and punishments, that do not love the Lord Jesus Christ. 16:23. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. 16:24. My charity be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen.